All right, let's see if we get the boom. No boom.
That's good.
What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. I want to tell you that when you can't call anybody else in the midnight hour, you can call friend Jesus. Somebody went on to say that he is a doctor in a sick room. He is a lawyer in a courtroom. He's a leaning post when you can't steady yourself. He's a way maker and a highway builder. And no matter what you go through, he's right beside to see you through. He's truly a friend when you get to know him. I want to thank our praise team for leading us this morning, and hope that you sense the presence of our Lord in our worship, and we encourage you to continue to dig in during the course of the week, and make sure that your worship altars and closets remain open to hear and receive what the Lord has to say to you during the course of the week. This morning, for just a few brief moments, I want to share a message that we've got entitled, Mothers, Thank You for Leaving Your Mark. I hesitated with the title because some of us are from some countries where Mama did leave a mark. If you know what I'm talking about. You know about that, don't you? Yeah, as I was preparing, I thought to myself, I don't know if I want to preach this. You know, you walking around all day singing, she touched me. Oh, she touched me. And then they would tell you, why don't you stop crying before I give you something to cry for? And you say to yourself, what was the last half an hour all about? But this morning we're looking at the text in a slightly different way. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to the book of Timothy, the second book of Timothy? We have the third chapter. And Lori, I don't know if it's still possible, but could we put up the entire chapter for the sake of context, if we can read it together? Is that all right, or can we do it? The entire chapter, we can scroll through. My bad, I should get you guys to do that early in the week. I'm sorry. No pressure at all. So, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to go all the way to 17, I believe it is. Well, why don't we read? You know what? I'd like to invite someone from the congregation to read for us real loud, especially for those listening by way of the live streaming. So if you're not afraid of the microphone, you like to read in a version that is easily understood, preferably NIV or it's on the screen, would you come to the microphone and read for us if this is okay with you, if you feel comfortable with that? All right, nobody wants to read the Word of God. All right. Thank you, Ross. Would you use that microphone over there?
2 Timothy 3, verse 1. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, dependent to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. There are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over the weak-willed women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by the kindness, by the all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres, thank you, opposed Moses, so also these men oppose the truth. Men are depraved minds who as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. Verse 10. You, however, know all about these teachings, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. What kind of things happened to me in Antioch,
Iconium,
and Lystra? But the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and you have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how the infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scriptures is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Amen. All right, let's affirm the word of God. This is my Bible. It is the unadulterated, inspired, authoritative word of God for my life. I will read it slowly. I will read it prayerfully. I will read it carefully. I will abide by its precepts. I will live by its principles. And I will stand on its promises. I declare it in Jesus' name. All right, mothers, today we pause to say thank you. As I was preparing the text, and Lori, you can prepare that short clip for me. As I was preparing the text, I said to myself, do I want to, you know, back in my earlier days, I would think of, you know, giving you, you know, five ways to be a great mother. And it's one thing for me to stand in the pulpit and tell you how to be a mother, you know. And I thought to myself, you know, after these many years, you don't need, you know, someone telling you how to be a godly mother and how to five power dynamics of being a great wife and all that sort of stuff. I felt in my heart, all you needed to hear somebody say is just thank you. Thank you for all that you do. And from the male perspective, I want to illustrate that by a quick clip.
Are you guys sure you got this?
Yeah. The twins are plugged in. Baby's asleep. How hard can this get?
We're men. Besides, I bumped into Chuck Norris at a Pizza Hut once. I think his power's rubbed off on me.
Get out of here. Go on, enjoy your mommy getaway weekend. This weekend was
chapter 3, verses 15-17. A drill sergeant was frustrated in his efforts to make a soldier out of a new recruit. The trainee lagged behind on marches, used many excuses to go on sick leave, grumbled constantly about the food, and never made up his cot properly. But one day, a noticeable change took place in the life of the young Marine. When asked to what attributed to the soldier's change in attitude, the drill sergeant explained. He said, threats and punishment didn't work, so I resorted to the ultimate power. I called his mother. This may seem a bit humorous to some of us, but it reminds us today of the profound and powerful influence that a mother has on her child or children. And so I want to ask you the question, has anyone made a lasting impression upon you? as Christina alluded to earlier, that there may be many of us today who did not have the opportunity to experience the love of a mother. But ladies, you know as well as I do that you don't need to give birth to be a mother. And many of you do not have children of your own, but you've mothered many nieces and nephews and other family members. And so today we pause to thank all of you who have influenced so many lives during your time. Sometimes these influencers can include teachers and coaches and close friends and political leaders and co-workers. Among them, we have the impressed love and affection given to us, and mothers stand out above all. And so today, we want to look at our text, and in our text is a story of the Apostle Paul on his second missionary journey throughout Asia. And as he's going through Asia Minor planting churches, he comes across a young man, and we know him to be Timothy. In fact, Timothy is the first pastor of a congregation that we have recorded in Scripture in the New Testament. So if you were to use the word pastor, Timothy would fit that bill. But Paul reminds Timothy, and if you go to 2 Timothy chapter 5, chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter, Second Timothy, it's there, it's in my head. You know, you start saying something, and you never get it right after that. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, and that's what I'm looking for. And here's what we've got. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and it's on the screen. There we go. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded this faith now lives in you also. Now, what Paul is experiencing with Timothy, the Apostle Paul did not put into Timothy, but his grandmother. If you read all of 1 and 2 Timothy, you will see that his parents are Jewish, but his dad was Greek. The text is not clear, but it indicates that his dad probably wasn't a believer and probably didn't stick around much longer, because that's the only mention about his dad. So he's got a dad, and so Paul obviously knew his father, but there's not much about his dad. And so what I want to say to you today, and I've got lots of notes, but you know, you may not have had a father growing up, but it's not an excuse for you not to rise to your full potential. Amen? And we thank God for grandmothers today who've raised many of us. There are many of you that have been raised by your grandmothers. And thank you for mothers who, even though Eunice may have been a single mother or divorced somewhere along the line, we're not really too sure, the text is not clear, but she did not use her personal life's challenges from eliminating her from being a good mother. And she took Timothy to Sunday school, because Paul says the faith that is in his grandmother and his mother is now also evident in young Timothy. And so I want to say to you that when faith is in us, people should be able to come along and see it as evidence with Timothy. And so Paul can look at grandma's lifestyle and look at mama's lifestyle and see it in young Timothy. Now, this is the Christian way, but the reverse is also true. So if grandma's not living for Jesus and mama's not living for Jesus, there is a good possibility that young son and grandson will not live for Jesus. And so I want to encourage you today to continue to influence those whom God has placed in your path. The mark that both Lewis and Eunice left on Timothy was his intense faith and trust in God. I understand that we live in a day and age that we want to leave Bible says that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children. And I know we want to leave our children well taken care of, but what a shame it would be if we left them all the money in the world, all the bling in the world, all the material possessions in the world, but we do not leave them an example of a strong faith. And so I want to encourage you today that if you want your children to have a strong faith, that as parents and influencers, you and I have a tremendous opportunity to model that for them. Because how many of you know that more lessons in life are caught than taught? And so in essence, monkey see, monkey do. Persons who had dealings with Timothy immediately recognized the mark of his mother and his grandmother on his personality. The mark of this faithful mother was reflected through his entire life. It was a mark of faith and service to God. In Philippians 2:20, the Apostle Paul makes the following statement about Timothy. He says, "There is no one like him." There is no one like him. Isn't that a good accolade to receive, to know that the Apostle Paul in his travels would have encountered many individuals, many young men, but to come across young Timothy and make the statement that in all of my travels there is no one like him, because Timothy was so distinctively different because of the influences that he had had on his life. Now there may be some of you saying, "Well, Pastor, I did not have a grandmother. I did not have a mother. I grew up in a foster home." I want to say to you that even though that may have been your situation, you ought not allow your past to influence your future. And your past may have said this is who you are, but your past ought not to define your future. And so I want to encourage you today that no matter where you came from, what your situation or circumstances may have been, that the power of God that is at work in young Timothy over 2,000 years ago is the same power that is at work today. And that power can transform any life regardless of your historical background or your geographical background or your cultural background. So I want to say to you that while we're influenced by culture and while we're influenced by society and environment, that you and I, that when we come into the full knowledge of Jesus Christ, ought to take what we know and put it into practice. I come across a lot of people today who make excuses and say, "Well, I didn't have this, and this is why I'm behaving this way." But I think that when you become an adult, you've got to take responsibility for your own action at some point in time in your life. And if we don't push people and encourage them to take responsibilities for their own action, we in some way enable them to remain in their state of addictiveness or whatever situation they may find themselves in. So we have a responsibility. Now, how many of you like being pushed? As a child growing up, I did not like it. But my parents could see things in me that they knew if they did not correct could become problematic for me as an adult. And how many of you know that all of the childhood issues that we have that never got dealt with surfaces between the ages of 35 and 42? Okay, Pat. Now it surfaces then, but if you don't deal with it, it'll carry you to 75. It surfaces between 35 and 42, but if it's not dealt with, it will stay with you years beyond. And so my encouragement to all of us is that each of us must find someone whom we can influence. My heart just melted the other day because after service, I normally go down to the front and I like to meet and greet the people. This is my personality. I've never imposed it on my family in any way, shape, or form, but I just noticed that every so often my daughter will come and stand beside me, and she'd be right there greeting people's hands. And I'll be over there, and she'd be right beside me. I'm thinking, I like this. This is kind of cool. This is good. In fact, so much so that she went away to a pastor's children's camp a few weeks ago, and God placed a word on her heart. So next week, her and I are going to be preaching to you, so you don't want to miss that. And so we're working on it, and we're going to get it nice and tight for you. And so, but the importance of influences, all right? Now, my influence on her life is very minimal compared to her mother, because, I mean, they just have a whole different relationship. But I appreciate my relationship with all of my children, and it's different. It's good and different in every way. So, point number one, Paul says that from childhood, Timothy knew his Savior. Tells him that he says from scriptures, he says, and now from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. Well, it's hard to know the scriptures and not know the Savior. Because if the scripture is going to work in your life, it's going to be the work of the Savior working in your life so you can have the scriptures. And so I don't know about you, but I remember those days when we had to go to Sunday school back in Guyana, and we had school uniforms. And so your school uniform was for school, and we didn't have a lot of dress clothes. We had one or two good outfits, okay? And that was your Sunday best. And they instilled that, you know, in us. I remember my auntie at the age of 8 or so, I was staying with her temporarily, showing me how to iron your clothes. And she always said to me, son, you may not have a dime in your pocket, but you ought to look like $1 million, you know. and so taught me how to shine my shoes and go to Sunday school. And when I went to Sunday school, when we came home, I had to give her the memory verse from memory. If not, it was a beating. Oh, we walked in, oh, she touched me. Oh, yeah, she touched me. Right? And Aunt Norma is deceased now, but you know, looking back, I don't regret those days. And I can clearly remember them, 8, 9-year-old, going to Sunday school, had to come back with my memory verse. You know, these kids today, they've got PowerPoint and stuff. We had the flannel stuff. You remember the flannel, you know, Noah's Ark on the flannel board? That was us. But the text tells us that from childhood, Timothy knew his Savior because someone took the time to invest in him. And I see a lot of people in my office, and I say to them, especially when they're coming for marriage counseling and we get to the part of children and parenting, and I say, and there's a question on the assessment that says, well, what kind of faith do you want your children to have? And it's interesting to see the dynamics between mom and dad, you know, before kids come, because if they're not on the same page, this can be an issue later on in life. And so I always try to encourage the parents to settle it, because you can't expect your kids to have a strong faith at 18 if you've kept them out of the Word of God and the presence of Jesus all the rest of their lives. And then expect that somehow they're going to grow up and have this revelation of Jesus. I watch parents on the news sometime after the kids have done something bad, and they go, but he's a good kid. Well, good kids don't drive drunk. Good kids don't go stabbing up people. And something was missing along the way. And so today I want to encourage all of you, because it takes, like, you know the old parable, it takes a village to raise a child. And so Paul says, from childhood, Timothy knew the Savior. Somebody introduced young Timothy to Jesus. And there are some people today who says that a child cannot receive the Lord. I beg to differ. Jesus says, suffer the little children to come unto me and to forbid them not. He said, the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And so if Jesus said, why should we deny them? So if a 2-year-old says, I believe in Jesus, I'm going to encourage him to believe in Jesus. If a 5-year-old, if somebody wanted to get water baptized, I will encourage them, because you and I are not judged. The Holy Spirit does his work in their lives. And so I want to encourage you, take the opportunity. Grandma, grandpas, take the opportunity to teach the scriptures to your children. Can I tell you something? When I was young going to Sunday school, we were forced to memorize the scriptures. And it was in my mind, but I didn't have a clue what it meant. But it was there. And so when I got into trouble, even though I didn't quite understand Psalm 23, I'd be going, the Lord is my shepherd, you know, and I walk, you know, right? And I would recite it. And I knew it, but after studying the word, then I got a real understanding of what it is. And so, but I thank God for that foundation of scriptures that I've had in my life, so that when I got into trouble, I could call on the scriptures, even though sometimes it was out of context. But I still was able to call upon it. So don't withstand or neglect to impart God's scriptures into people's lives, especially into those whom you have an opportunity to influence. Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5 says, children are a heritage from the Lord. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way in which he shall go. And when he is old enough, he will not depart from it. And that was one of the scriptures that my auntie used to beat me with. She's all right. Seriously. She said, see, on the Bible says, train up a child in the way in which he should go. When he's old, he shall not depart. I'm serious. And another familiar one from the Caribbean is, spare the rod, spoil the child. Then they say, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. And I'm the one taking the blows. You guys know that, don't you? So from childhood, Timothy knew Savior, knew his Savior. From childhood, Timothy knew the scriptures. And the Bible tells us that all scripture is inspired by God. And so God gives us inspiration, and he gives us revelation, and then he gives us illumination. And when we are children, we would have perhaps inspiration where it's revealed to us. We really don't understand how it works. And God gives us a revelation and of his word. But then as we go through life, those scriptures begin to take root in our lives, and we have a greater understanding of what it means. Because you don't understand, fret not thyself of evildoers, for evildoers will be cut down and wither away like the grass, until somebody's really got on your nerves. And you have to put it into practice. That's when you really know it. All right? You don't really understand, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and all of your soul, and lean out on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, until your money is funny and your change is strange and you don't know where to turn. That's when you really begin to understand the scriptures. And so God gives us illumination as we go through life. And so some scriptures will mean different things to us at different points and times in our lives. So some people will say to me, well, Pastor, that means that the Bible is always changing. No, the Bible doesn't change. It stays the same, but we change. And as we mature, we see different things in the Word. And even today, I look back at some of the sermons I preached maybe 10 years ago, and I go back today and I see something different. For example, I was reading where Abraham was told to take his son Isaac up to the mountain to sacrifice his son. Most of us in here know that story, don't we? What did God ask him to take to the mountaintop? He was taking his son, right? But what else? Carry the wood. And what else? A knife and fire. All right? And what were they going to go do at the top of the mountain? Worship. They were supposed to go worship God at the top of the mountain. It dawned on me that Abraham was carrying things that could destroy him to worship. And I thought about how many people come to worship with things that can destroy them. The knife, the fire, the wood, those are all things that they were carrying that had the potential to destroy his son. The knife was going to kill him. The fire was going to burn the wood that they had. It was going to destroy his son. But they were carrying things to worship. And I wonder in our churches today, how many of us come to worship, but we're carrying things that can destroy us? But when Abraham got the victory was when he lifted his hands. And as when he lifted his hands, God says, Abraham, don't strike the kid. I wish sometimes we would just raise our hands just a little bit and let the praises go up. I wish I had a witness this morning. I wish somebody knew what I was talking about. And so when you read the scriptures, it will mean different things to you at different times. So for example, when David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. As a child, I did not understand that. But when I understood that David was a shepherd boy himself who was looking after four-legged sheep, but God was also his shepherd. And so as a shepherd boy, he was taking the sheep through the foot of the mountain and through the valley, all the dark places where it could be attacked. And so while he was responsible for looking after his four-legged sheep, the heavenly shepherd was also responsible for looking after David. And many times we read the text where it says, he anoints my head with oil, my cup runneth over. So, well, what is that? Well, as I began to dig into the scriptures and I began to understand the Hebrew Masoretic text, I realized that the sheep, they would have these little flies that would lay eggs in their nostrils, and it would give birth in there, and but when it was hatching, it would be so itchy that the sheep would bump head with each other to find relief. So a good shepherd would take oil and anoint the heads of the sheep so that when they bumped head, it wouldn't have a collision, but it would create friction. And so sometimes I say to myself, some church folk need to have a whole bottle of oil poured over them. We could release a whole lot of friction in church. I'm going to get... Just come to the front and I will bless you. So my friends, on this Mother's Day, I want to encourage you that each of you have an opportunity to influence someone. Now, you may not realize the impact you're having on people until maybe you may never realize the impact that you're having on people. And maybe you're going to have to get over into heaven to really understand how you've influenced someone. I'm at a stage in my life after pastoring for a number of years where people come back and say, Pastor, do you remember when you helped me with this and you helped me with that? I can't remember. But as time passes, I keep seeing people coming back saying, you've helped with this, you've taught me this, you showed me this. And I'm grateful for that. But I want that to be the experience of all of you that are sitting within the sound of my voice as well. I remember so clearly one day when my father and I went to our house and it had been broken into, and he had lost everything from the previous house, and you've heard the story before. But when I run into difficulty, I'm not the person to necessarily scream and yell and cuss and tell people off, because as a young boy, I see my dad, when he ran into difficulty, he just dropped to his knees in the midst of that situation, was very calm, and just began to pray. So what he'd modeled for me, and he didn't know its effect, but now when I have a difficulty, you might come in and you might see these around. You know what these are, right? Those are for me, right there. And so I find myself at the foot of the cross talking to God because those lessons have been modeled for me. And I hope that you would leave a legacy of modeling a strong Christian faith for someone. So Brother Morgan, I want to say to you that you don't have to go to Bible college. You don't need a PhD in ecclesiology and psychology and eschatology, but if the love of Jesus indwells you, there ought to be somebody in your life who would want to immolate you long after you're gone. You need to leave a legacy of somebody who is willing to walk in the ways of God because of the way in which you walk with your relationship with God. Amen? I'm coming to close. Number three. Timothy, from childhood, Timothy knew of service. Wow. Timothy knew of service. When Paul ran into Timothy and he said, there is no one like him, what the text tells me is that Timothy had had a track record of serving. You don't run into somebody, Gina, and say, wow, there's nobody like you. You know, you don't say that unless you know the person. You've got some track record of history of seeing what the person is in action. And so because Paul says there's no one like him, it tells me that Timothy probably was an altar boy. He probably grew up serving in the church, being involved in some way, shape, or form. And so now that he was of age to begin full-time ministry, Paul says there's no one like him because he had some example or people could speak for his life. Can I pause for just a minute here in New Hope? And this might be a 747 over your heads. A lot of people come into the church and they want to get involved right away. But we don't know nothing about them. And they want to be on the platform and they want to be preaching and they want to be doing this and they don't want to be doing that. And sometimes you got to put the brakes on that stuff because you got to do some homework and find out where they're coming from. All right? Because how many of you know, if you leave your last church mad, that's the same way you enter your new church. Mad. Okay? If you leave it with unresolved issues, you enter your new church with unresolved issues. So sometimes we ask people to take a seat and just relax so we can get to know them and see what they're like, because we have a responsibility to the body of Christ. So Al, you're not going to be preaching next week. Sorry, man. But that's okay. I'm just messing with you. All right? So Timothy had put in his time. And what I'm saying to you is that sometimes you've got to put in your time. You got to put in your time and prove yourself to be faithful in the little things, and God would make you a steward of greater things. But you've got to prove faithfulness in the little things, Carmen. So this is why when people come to the church, we say to them, why don't you start out in fellowship ministries? Help Elvo in the kitchen. Why don't you help with greeting and ushering? Because we don't know you want to get a chance to get to know you. Because we don't want to put you in a position where you're going to fail. Because that looks bad on us as well. All right? And how many of you know there is no hurt like church hurt? It just stays long and it stings longer. It goes deeper. You really got to work on it to get it resolved. So young Timothy knew of Scripture. He knew of Savior, and he knew of service. Service to me speaks of hard work. There is no service I know of that's easy. Because if it was, everybody will be doing it. Service is hard work. So my encouragement to you on this Mother's Day, know the Scriptures. Know the Savior. Model a servant-like attitude in whatever you do. So when you're asked to do something, if you're not supportive, and if you're grumbling and complaining, guess what? Kids pick up on that, right? Right? You heard the story of the couple that invited the priest over for dinner, not because they really wanted to, but they invited him over, and the mother repeated to the husband, you know, what are we going to feed this old goat, in reference to the priest? And the priest did show up, and they asked the daughter to say grace. And she said, Lord, we want to thank you for this old goat. So more lessons in life are caught than taught. Young people, do not forsake your prayer time. Get into the Scriptures. Know your Savior. I mean, when you sing, and he walks with me and he talks with me, you must sing it not because you know it up here, but because it has taken foundation in here. Amen? And so my encouragement for you today is that we want to thank you, mothers, for the mark that you've left on us. Because of Lewis's and Eunice's influence on young Timothy, we could be talking about him 2,000 years removed because of the example that we see. When you are removed, who will be talking about you, and what will they be saying? My question to you as we bring our service to an end. When you are gone, who will be talking about you, and what will they be saying? Would you think about that? Let's stand together. When you're gone, who will talk about you, and what will they be saying? Join hands with the person next to you if you don't mind. Our Father and our God, we want to thank you for Mother's Day. Lord, it is sad in some way that we relegate the celebration of our mothers to one day of the year. I pray, Father, that each of us who've been influenced by a mother or a mother figure would not wait until the second week in May to express gratitude and appreciation, but this would be an act of love that would be modeled on a daily basis or as often as possible. For the mothers today who are grieving the loss, whether it's a physical loss, a psychological loss of a child, I pray, Lord, today that your Holy Spirit would comfort their hearts on their souls. You would hold them close today, Father God, as this pain resonates within them. For those children that are estranged from their parents, Father, I pray that you would bring reconciliation. Lord, I pray that you would bring healing and you would restore severed relationships. Father, I pray for mothers today that are hurting for various reasons. May your love flow through them today, and would you ease their pain? Would you hold them in the tenderness and the palms of your hands, and so they will forever know your love? Father, I pray that some child today who has not been in contact with his or her parents or the person who represent parent to them would make that phone call, would seek reconciliation, oh God, would bridge the gap. And I pray that today will be a day of celebration. And for those parents, Lord, whom have lost children to death, whether it be a miscarriage, a premature birth, or just death from life's challenges, Father, would you heal their hurts and their pain today and comfort them, Father God. And Lord, I pray that you would help all of us to be like young Timothy, that when people look at us, they will say there was no one like him or her. Thank you for the influences of Timothy's mother and grandmother, that today we can still talk about him. But also, Lord, help us to learn this valuable lesson, that when we are gone, that people will still talk about us and say things that can be of benefit to our development and our growth. Father, have your way with this assembly. Bless us today, and as we go celebrate with our mothers and our family, may the conversations be glorifying to you, but encouraging to us. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's children say, amen. The Lord bless